That's independent Baptist right there, brother. The more vibrato, the more spiritual you are. You know what I mean? But, man, I hear you sometimes, Brother Haglin, and I was just so honored to be with you tonight and to speak with you, my brother. I appreciate that. Thank you, Grace Baptist College, for the wonderful music. Man, I never heard that song. Great song. I appreciate that. And, Brother Steve, you are right on the money. You know what I mean? His last name is Money, so you guys didn't get that. Okay, good. Yeah. So, appreciate that. Courtesy laugh, Brother JJ. Good. And it's so good to see Brother Beal tonight, and I love Brother Beal, and we are from the same college. Thank you for the work that you're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ, and to meet so many of the youth pastors tonight. I see Brother Vapresen and Brother Rock, and Brother Cole, you're just chaperoning the teenagers, but with Brother Young and Brother Brown, he is a nut, man, and I appreciate you, Brother Brown. Come on. He turned down to walk on to the 76ers to be a youth pastor, so he's serving the Lord, and then, sure. And it's good to see Brother Leonard tonight. I met him and so many others. Brother Perez on the Elisha bus. My goodness, he's here tonight. And I'm glad to meet him. And so many, Brother Cody, and so many of you. Thank you for being here tonight. I know sometimes you come to a youth rally, you don't know who this guy is. You're like, why did I show up to hear this guy? But I trust that the Lord will speak to us tonight. It's all about him, right? And God has been very good to Brother Johnson. Good to see you tonight, too, and meet you. God has been very, very good to us. And teenager, you have to recognize the goodness of God in your life. You have to recognize where God has brought you from, where God has brought your parents from, or your grandparents. See, the truth is tonight, I'm a first-generation Christian, Brother Haglin, and so are you. And so the Bible says, to whom much is forgiven, much will love. That's what the Bible says. I've been forgiven much. But you have to understand, where I come from, there was people selling drugs on the corner every day. Where I come from, there was police and what we call the ghetto bird. See what I'm saying? The ghetto bird, okay? It was all around the neighborhood where I come from. Where I come from, people walk down the street with guns on their hips, okay? And they were in different gangs. That's where I come from. Gang infested, drug infested. I mean, all kinds of sin, all kinds of crime. I'm talking about just a hole of no hope. But one day, by the grace of God, Brother Perez, somebody came by my door, and it was a bus captain. His name was Dave Bordeaux. He was about 5'10", 260 pounds, Brother Stevens, and he was bald, and he was white with glasses, man. And that guy was in my neighborhood. I knew that he did not belong in my neighborhood. I thought it was the police. I thought it was the FBI. I thought it was, I can't say that. But listen, this guy came by my neighborhood, and he knocked on my door, and he said, Sammy, this is my friend. My friend Jamal was with him. I was already upset at Jamal. I said some things to him that I can't repeat tonight. Some cuss words, you know what I mean? And I said, Jamal, why'd you bring this guy to my house, man? He says, wait a minute. You brought him to my house several times. I don't want anything to do with this guy, man. Come on. He says, Sammy, wait a minute. Be quiet. Shut up. Brother Bordeaux says, tomorrow, Sammy, on the bus, we're having hot dogs, baby. Praise God. And I don't know what your feelings are about hot dogs, but understand that I still love them to this day. I just got a little bit more sophisticated, okay? I like them organic hot dogs, them Hebrew Nationals now. But back in the day, I take chicken pork mix, you know, with the guts and the intestines and the ears and all that blend together. And I came to church on Hot Dog Sunday. That was 22 years ago, where I came to church, my friend, and somebody preached to me the gospel that Jesus loved me. This I know why, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. And I learned that day that somebody died on the cross for me. I learned that one day, long ago, almost 2,000 years ago, he shed his blood for me, and I knelt down that day and I trusted Christ as my personal Savior. How could God save me and put my feet on a rock and put a song in my heart and establish my goals? How could Jesus do that for me? And I'm here to tell you tonight, teenager, if Jesus could do that for me, just a black, insignificant, backward, unintelligent, no skill, no talent, parents divorced, separated, on welfare, nobody. If Jesus can use me, then Jesus can use you, my friend. I'm trying to tell you tonight, teenager. Turn your Bibles. I'm not even in a message yet. I'm not going to take too long. Here it is. First Chronicles, chapter number 4 tonight. First Chronicles, chapter number 4. I will not take long. First Chronicles, chapter number 4. And let's look at verses 9 and 10. First Chronicles, chapter number 4. First Chronicles, chapter number 4. First Chronicles, chapter number 4. And I want to say something, teenager. You better give God a chance tonight. You got to give God a chance with your life. And you got to give God a chance with your life. God will let you do things you never thought you could do. Hey, Corbin, God will let you do things you never thought you could do. God will take you places you never thought you could go. God will let you see some things you never thought you would have saw. God will let your feet tread on places and paths that only He could prepare for you. And I want to say that the Lord's way is perfect. And if you allow Him to direct your paths, you'll never have any regrets. I like to think of that day when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, where faith will no longer be needed. And Lord, haste the day when faith will become sight. Come on now. The clouds will roll away, right? And Jesus will step on the scene. And when I see Him face to face, and I hope that He says, Brother Robles, good to see you here tonight. I hope that He says, well done now, good and faithful servant. I hope that I can say with Jesus, there's no regrets, Brother Young, in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that I spend my life trying to win people to Christ. I'm glad I spend my life trying to get some truth out of His Word. I'm glad I spend my life trying to love teenagers, trying to love young people, trying to love the prank, trying to love the fight, trying to lead people to the cross of the Jesus Christ. I'm glad I spend my life for You, Jesus. I hope that Jesus is well pleased with me, Brother Haglin. Every day of my life, I want to do some inspection, and I want to ask the Lord, does my attitude please You? God, do my words please You? God, does my television watching please You? I'm not going to stand up here like some hypocrite, like I don't watch TV. I'm not going to stand up here like some hypocrite, like I don't have some sin that I got to deal with, like I don't have some attitude that I got to deal with. We got to stop that nonsense sometimes. I know why teenagers don't want anything to do with God sometimes, because they see a spiritual leader who acts like he's always got it all together. He never stumbles. He never fumbles. He never tells God. He never deals with sin. And then they get discouraged. How can I serve God? Mrs. So-and-so and Mr. So-and-so, they got it all together. It's about time that we take off our coats sometime. And we take off our shoes sometime. And people see that we need Jesus also, my friend. All right, 1 Chronicles 4. Here we go. I got to get into this. 1 Chronicles 4. Look at verse number 9. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9. I'm going to talk to you about a guy tonight, and I hope that it'll be a blessing to you. Look at verse number 9. Let's read verse number 9 together. 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse number 9. Let's ready? Begin. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now let's read a little bit louder. Verse number 10. Verse number 10 tonight. Ready? Begin. Just for a little bit tonight, okay? It won't take me long. I want to preach on this subject, the prayer of Jabez. The prayer of Jabez. Let's ask the Lord to help us, okay? Father, I thank You for the privilege it is to be in Your house tonight. And I am thoroughly excited, God. I love to come through the doors of the church. I love to see the scriptures on the walls. I love to feel the spirit of people singing praises to You. And Lord, tonight our souls doth magnify the Lord as best as we know how to. And as humbly as we know how to, we come to You tonight, Lord, asking that You would please speak to us. Lord, it is in vain unless You meet with us, God. I know that. You don't need me. You never have. But tonight, Lord, I need You. I always have and I always will. I pray, God, that You give good unction to my brother Haglin tonight. That You would help him, Lord Jesus Christ. That You'd give him the power from above. Give him Your touch. Your presence, please. Thank You, God, for this scripture. I pray that You would work it in our hearts and make us over, God. Help us to be more like You. It's all about You tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that You would speak through me tonight. Speak, Lord, please, for Thy servant heareth Thee. Help me, Lord, to catch. Let none of the words fall to the ground, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You will only find the name Jabez you'll only find his name four times in the scripture. The first time you find his name is in 1 Chronicles 2:55, where the Bible says, and the families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez, the Terethites and the Shimeathites and the Suchathites and the Kenanites came from him, the father of the house of Rechab. Now, if they dwelt at Jabez, I would have to assume that he had a city named after him. And if somebody is going to name a city after you, that means you are a very important person. Now, in these verses, we find that Jabez had people living in his city. But what made him so special? What's the reason why he stuck out? Would you consider what the Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse number 11? I know we're coming across the Christmas season. The Bible says in Luke 2:11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of..." In the city of who? "A Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Now, Jesus Christ was born in the city of David. Who was David? David was a man after God's own heart. Who was David? He's the second king of Israel after the Lord stripped away Saul's kingdom because he was no longer little in his sight. And God gave it to his neighbor, just a little shepherd's boy. A little shepherd's boy who was goodly. I mean, he was skillful, playful. He was in war and could play the harp. And God blessed him and used him. But you have to consider Jabez tonight. Jabez was a man greatly used by God. I want to give you three things on perhaps why Jabez was used by God. Number one, I want you to notice his reputation. His reputation. Look what the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 4:9. 1 Chronicles 4:9. Follow me in the scriptures. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. I want you to see his status. His status. The Bible says he was more honorable than his brethren. He was more honorable than his brethren. The Bible says in Proverbs 22:1, "A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor than silver or gold." In the book of Daniel, chapter number 1, the Bible says that these Hebrew children were 10 times better than those in Babylon. Why? Because God blessed them and their flesh was fatter than the rest. Come on now. And they were skillful. Now, what I'm trying to say here is that Jabez came from a lineage, not of people who did not know the Lord. You see, if you got more of something, that means that something was already there. The Bible says Jabez was more honorable. And my today, don't we need a revival of teenagers that are more honorable than those in society? We need a revival of teenagers who respect authority. We need a revival of teenagers who do their homework. We need a revival of teenagers who are clean. We need a revival of teenagers who listen to the good music. We need a revival of teenagers that go teen soul winning. We need a revival of teenagers that understand that their lives are not their own. You are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your members, which is not yours. It is Christ. See, that's what God said to us in Romans chapter 12. "Be not conformed unto this world." But the Bible says, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, young lady, tonight, it is God's desire for you to remain pure. It is God's desire for every young man as well. Listen, to remain pure. You ought to not know what it's like to be in a bed of immorality. You ought to not know what it's like to take out your cell phone and send these filthy pictures one to another. I know what I'm talking about tonight as we deal with young people every day who are enslaved to pornography, who are enslaved to immorality, who are enslaved to these illicit relationships. And I know, girls, some of you are without dad at home. I wish I could bring my sister here tonight. She grew up without my father. I knew my father. He left my house when I was, he left our home when I was 9 years old. But Sandy was born the year that he left. She never had a dad. She always went to these different banquets where her friends would come with her father, and Sandy would have to come with the youth pastor, would have to come with the pastor, or she had to come with me. And I always felt badly for Sandy. I said, "Sandy, sweetheart, I want you to do one thing while you're young, while you're 5 and 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. When she was 12 years old, she says, "I'm going to give my heart to Jesus and I'm going to let him be my heavenly father." And I know tonight there's some girls tonight who you never had a man put his arm around you, kiss you on your cheek and tell you he loves you. And that's not fair. But I want to tell you tonight that life is not fair. I want to tell tonight that's not your fault. But what I am saying, that doesn't give you a license to go around looking for love in all the wrong places. That doesn't give you a license to allow filthy men to touch you and to ruin your life. And I want to say tonight to those of you that are second generation Christians and third generation Christians, the Bible still says, "To whom much is given, much is what? Much is required," my friend. You see his status. Not only that, we see his sorrow. Look what the Bible says, the latter part of that verse. The Bible says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren." And his mama, look at this, his mama called him what? Jabez, right? And what does that mean? Look at verse 9. His mama called him Jabez. And what does that mean? "Because I bear him with what?" Because I bear him with sorrow. The Bible says that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Ain't that right, Brother Brown? I like the latter part of that verse, Brother Cody. And obtaineth favor of the Lord. God's been very favorable to me. Not because of me. I am garbage. I know that. I know that. You don't have to tell me. I know that. But boy, I wish you could see my wife come in, Brother Bill. What an amazing lady. What an amazing woman. We just had our third child. She did. You look pregnant, though, preacher. I know. I'm working on a little bit. I'm working on my figure a little bit. I've been taking in Russell Westbrook workouts. You know what I mean? You guys know Russell Westbrook? Okay, whatever. If I said Call of Duty, you'd be like, oh, yeah, totally, dude. That stage number 52 with that big old bomb, you know? No, I'm talking about some sports right now. Some of you boys better watch some sports. But anyways, so back to the story. So we just had the third child, Brother Haglin. Third child. Brother Haglin's got five. Brother Savine, how many you got? Three? You got three. Good night. So listen, here's what happens. Your wife, fellas, one day, you guys want to get married, right? You good? All right, good. I'm in Michigan, baby. This ain't California. Come on now. And so I can say that because I am from California. If you said that, I'll bust you right in your throat. I'm drowning in my blood. Okay, now, so here it is. Our wife, Brother Haglin, she said, sweetheart, baby, man, I'm expecting. Brother Perez, you got your kids with you. I was like, you're expecting what? what you mean you expecting? No, I mean, oh, this is after a year, Brother JJ. And I'm thinking, after a year, I'm probably not ready to be a dad after a year. You know what I mean? I still got crack addiction. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to RU. Don't judge me. Don't judge me, son of the blood. But I'm just kidding, okay? Relax yourself. Why did he bring that guy? He's still on crack. But anyway, after 9 months, the angel of the Lord shone and said, no, I'm just kidding. But after 9 months, she said, we started going to the doctor once a week. You usually go by once a month. Then after the last trimester, the last month, you go once a week. And so we're going once a week. And there came that day. It was 2:38 in the morning. And I'm in deep sleep, Brother Savine. Brother Haggard, I'm in deep sleep. And I don't like to be bothered while I'm sleeping. There's a couple things you never do to me. You don't bother me when I'm sleeping. And number two, you never do this. I'm going to tell you right now. Don't ever do this. Ever do this. You don't bother me when I'm eating. Praise God. You can bother me if I'm reading the Bible. That's cool. But you can't bother me if I'm eating. Oh, it's like, I'm like in deep sleep, sister. You know what I mean? I'm deep sleeping. I'm just like, What? I think my water broke. Okay. We already had the bag ready. You know, all the emergency stuff. Because you got to spend like, you know, a year in the hospital to get out. No, I'm just kidding. But you got to be there for a while. But the representative, you may know about this. Rush to the hospital. She's already like dilated, you know. It's like, oh my goodness, is this happening right now? My heart's pounding. And Brother Ruck, she's the one having a baby, but I'm fixing to pass out. You know what I mean? I'm like, baby, you need anything? You all right? Are you okay? You okay? Give me one of those air things. Put her on her mouth so she can breathe. This baby, calm down. No, I want to make sure you breathe, okay? Please breathe. You okay, baby? You can breathe. Ready? CPR. And so here he is, and the doctor comes in, and my wife, she's in trail. It's like 12 hours. It's like, oh, man, the contractions in her back, and I'm feeling bad for her, you know, Brother Haglin, because my back's not hurting, but hers is, you know what I mean? I'm like, baby, man, good night, what's going on? But 12 hours, and she's in agony, and she's in pain, and she begins to go into labor, and, you know, the baby comes out, and little Sam, you know, he's huge. He's like Shaq, you know? He comes out with a tattoo on his shoulder and a big old leather belt, you know what I mean? Like, Sam, he's huge, man. Right now, he's 4 years old. I'm telling you, he's this tall. He's 4 years old. He's going to make money for the family. Praise God. We're going to get out the ghetto. And so here's Sammy. And I said, man, there she is. And I've seen the agony. And Mrs. Bill, I know that you know what I'm talking about. The agony and the labor and the sorrow. And Jabez's mom says, listen, Jabez, when I look at you, I'm going to call you sorrow. Why? Because there was agony and pain when I delivered you. It wasn't easy for me to do this. And I can't help from my mind to go to Isaiah chapter number 53, where the Bible says, "For he shall grow up as a tender plant, a root of dry ground. He had no form, no comeliness. We shall see him. There's no beauty that we should desire him." The Bible says this: "He is despised and rejected, and a man of sorrows." This is what happened. Jesus Christ was delivered into the hands of sinners. He was judged before Pilate. He went before the governor, before Caiaphas. Then he was released to the Roman soldiers. Then they plucked his beard. They put a crown of thorns on his head. Then they pierced his side. Then they nailed his right hand to the cross and his left hand to the cross and his feet are chased into the cross. And Jesus Christ suffered death. He bore us all with sorrow. But thank God for that third day when he resurrected from the dead to give us victory over sin. And he justified us and he sanctifies us. And one day by the grace of God, he'll glorify us, my friend. Why? Because he came to bear us with sorrow, my friend, you see. You see, if you die and go to hell from this youth group or this youth rally tonight, God will have no fault in that. Zero. Because he did all the work when he built the bridge. Oh, when he took his Father's hand. And by the way of the cross, he connected it with man's hand. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. He came to reconcile us back with God the Father. You see what I'm saying tonight? If you die tonight without Jesus Christ, it would not be his fault. Because the Bible says in Romans 5:8, "But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." He came to bear us with sorrow. Not only his reputation, I hasten. We see his request. Now this is amazing. Look at verse number 10. Look at verse 10. I'm going to go really fast. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel." I'm always amazed at the details in the Bible, you know. He called on the God of Israel. You know, our God's real. I'm glad when I pray, God hears me. I'm glad when I'm lonely, God is there so I can lean on his shoulder. I thank God we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. But the Bible says he was in all points tempted as ye are. And here's the major difference. And yet without sin. And so that's why I come boldly to the throne of grace, so I can find that mercy and that help in time of need. But listen, calling the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." First of all, we see his request, and that request is a request of provision. It is a request of what? Provision. It is a request of what? Provision. See, he asked God to do something for him. He says, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed." You know, God wants to be your provision. He wants you to have your heart connected directly to him. You know, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, if you know it, would you quote it with me? "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things." Now I ask you a question tonight. Do you want God? Do you want God in your life? Hey, listen. Without playing church, I've been in church for 21 years. I get it. Without playing church, do you want God in your life? I mean, do you want him more than anything? Because sometimes I know what we want. We want materialistic things, myself included. Oh, God, if I just had a bigger house. Oh, God, if I just had a bigger television. Oh, God, if I just had a newer car. Oh, God, if you would do this and if you would do that. And God said, wait a minute. Your number one desire ought not to be a bigger ministry. And I know what I'm talking about. Your number one desire ought not to you for your name to be known, for you to be popular. Your number one desire ought not to have a bigger television or a bigger house. Your number one desire ought not to be that for this or that. And it may be good things. Your number one desire ought to be me. It ought to be me. That's what God says. Paul said in the book of Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I might know what? Him. I want to know Jesus more. I want to love Jesus more. I want to sacrifice more for Jesus. I want to give my life for him. I want more of his grace. I want more of his love. I want more of his kindness. I want Jesus Christ to be everything in my life. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his what? Death. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I want to know God so bad. So many times We'd wish we knew so-and-so, celebrity. You wish you knew Taylor Swift. I'm not talking about Taylor Swift, and I'm talking about Jesus Christ, friend.
Amen.
You wish you knew Kanye West a little. No, I'm talking about Kanye West. I'm talking about Jesus Christ tonight.
Right.
I want to know Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to know him. That's the only person I want in my life. I want God to be monumental, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And I hasten. Not only that, he says that thou would have blessed me indeed. Next, he asked God to prosper him. Look at that prosperity. And enlarge my coast. Look at that verse. And enlarge my coast. You know what Jabez was praying for? That God would extend his boundaries a little bit. He wanted to do more for the cause of Christ. You know, I'm going to tell you this. If God calls you into ministry, it would be a step down to do anything else in your life. Hey! If God called you into the gospel ministry, it would be a step down to do anything else in your life. To God extend the boundaries of your life so that you would not touch others for you, but that you would touch others for him. You see, that's what Paul was talking about when he said in the book of Galatians, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live, yet not I, but Christ live within me. And his life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now you want God to prosper your life, but do you want God to prosper your life for you? Or do you want God to prosper your life for him? You see, the key is living for him. I hasten. Number next. And I got about 5 minutes. Here we go. Next, he asked God for his presence. Now listen to what the Bible says. He says, and that thine hand might be with me. It's interesting that the Bible does not say on me right there. You see that, teenager? So many times we ask, oh, God, put your hand on me. No. He asked God that thy hand would be with me. Not on me. With me. I got a little girl. She's 2 years old. And seriously, she doesn't look like her dad. She looks like her mom. Come on, Brother Brown. Come on. That wasn't Brother Brown. I'll get you. I'm not listening. Serious. She's Brother Perez. I'm not. She's about this big. She's got clear blue, brown eyes. She's got clear brown eyes. Big brown eyes. She's got like olive toned skin, curly hair. She looks like a little princess. She's dear. She really is. One day we're out on tour. And we stop at this, you know, sometimes they put us, praise the Lord, when they put us in hotels, right, Brother Hagelin? We're in a hotel. Sammy, he's just all in. He is buck wild. Get in there. He can't even swim. You don't care. You know? Sophia, she's not coming near the water. She's not even close, brother. Hey, would you, come on. Oh, Daddy. No, Daddy, no. Come on, Sophia, let's go. Come on. No, Daddy. Oh. Mom starts to push her. Get up out the water.
Good.
A little hand clutches mine. It's a little thing. Cute. You know, Brother Hagelin.
Oh,
nervous. But when Daddy holds her hand, it's amazing, Brother Johnson. She gets into the water. When Daddy holds her hand, she gets into the water. Can I ask you a question? Do you have the presence of God in your life? Well, I'm saved, Brother Sammy. That's good, but that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, do you have the presence of God in your life, teenager? Does God hold your hand? One of the saddest statements in the scripture. The Bible says, old Samson, he was going to go out as at other times. You can read it there. I'm going to use my might just like I did in other times. But the Bible says this, he wist not that the presence of the Lord had departed from him. Well, I'm going to be in college, get my degree. I'm going to make something great out of my life. And you may. Let me ask you a question. Is your hand going to be holding God's hand? Will you have the presence of God in your life? Woo! The wicked flee with no man pursue it, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know why we're as bold as lions? Because we're with the lion of the tribe of Judah, praise God. I can be bold as a lion, yeah. I can speak the truth of God, yes. I can walk with my head held high, not in pride, but in confidence because I know who's with me. Oh God, not your hand on me, but that your hand would be with me. That'll change your life, son, if you allow the hand of God to guide you. If you allow the hand of God to guide you, let his hand guide you. And I'm going to finish with this. I got more to say, but I got to give Brother Hagley his time. The last thing he asked him for was prevention. Look at the last part of the verse. He says that the hand would be with me, his presence. And the last one he asked him for is for prevention. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not what? Grieve me. Do you see that part? Let's read that last part together. Ready to begin? And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it might not grieve me. He was 10 years old when he came to the youth group. I'll say his name because nobody knows him. His name was Elias Zambrano. Elias Zambrano was his name. 10 years old when he came to church. Come from a rough background. But he got saved. Started going to church. I'd pick him up for teenage night. We have it every Saturday night. At the age of 12, he enrolled in a Christian school. Man, God started working in his life tremendously. Started changing some things. After 2 years, 14, he started to get around some people in his neighborhood that began to give him some illegal substance. To this day, I'm not exactly sure what he would sell, but I knew it was illegal substance, some sort of drug. After 2 years of begging Elias, 2 years of begging, come back to church. Come on, man, come back to church. His mom, I sit in the house with his mom, she'd cry. Bring Elias back to church. Bring him back to church. He got caught, got thrown in a juvenile hall. 17 on his 18th birthday. I don't know how he got out, but he got out. That night at 10:30 at night, on the corner of 4th and Coronado there in Long Beach, California, someone pulled out a gun and shot him 4 times in the chest. He fell down and died instantly. 18 years old. Every youth pastor in here, every man of God in here can probably tell you a story about somebody like that. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Who was grieved that night? Say his mom got the bad news. Yeah, I hugged her neck. She wept. He's dead, Brother Sam. He's dead. But I tell you who was grieved that night. He was. His life was snatched away from him, 18 years of age. I'm going to ask you a question. How many more of you have to experience drugs to know that it's going to kill you? It's going to grieve you? Youth pastor, man of God, gets behind the pulpit and preaches. Nah, that ain't going to happen to me. Really? How many more of you precious girls are going to have babies out of wedlock to know that's going to mess your life up? I don't understand. You're going to live your life in the world? You're going to come home 4 a.m. after you wasted all your check that you made throughout the week, you just wasted? You're going to be another stat? Well, I want to be cool. Yeah, man, I'm going to waste my life. How many more people have to waste their life? It's going to grieve you. It's going to grieve you. You know, I'm going to ask you to do something just in your heart tonight. Would you ask God that he would help you to overcome any temptation, any testing? I'm going to ask you to have this protection. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to help you. God, I don't have to experience with drugs. God, I don't have to experience with alcohol. God, I don't have to have this immorality in my life. God, would you keep me from sin that it would not leave me? May God help us with this thought. Every head bowed and every eye closed. For the Savine.